his case, this guy's sitting at home enjoying his Christmas ham or whatever, and turns on this George C. Scott version of the Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. And this is the funny thing. I don't know the guy's name or I'd tell you, but this years ago, he gave his testimony. It was funny because he said that he thought that this was in the Bible. He was watching this movie and he thought it was based on the Bible. And one of the reasons he said, because Dickens wrote a book about Jesus. And in his mind, he remembered the Dickens book about Jesus and put kind of two to two together in his head. He thought this was something out of the New Testament. But God used it. That kept him up. And he eventually, shortly after the new year, that year, he got saved. Amen. Well, in this version of the Christmas Carol, it says verse 16, 17, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. You see, his thought wasn't, how can I bless people with this? What can I do this to bring glory to God? If God ever blesses you with riches, there's nothing sinful about that. The sinful comes in with your response. And when your response has nothing to do with obeying God's will, bringing glory to God, love, you know, serving others, that sort of thing, that's where the problem comes in. When it's all about this guy, he's already rich. And he's got his big barns already full. What's he going to do? Tear those down and build bigger ones. I say, you know, I try to butt out of the business of other churches, but there's many churches around the world, around the country, who had these massive churches, and it's just never big enough. They raise millions more, tear that down, and build a bigger one. Not that they needed it, but they had to make room for the pizza restaurant, you know, and all that kind of thing. It's just amazing to me. I would never do that because I wouldn't want to stand before the Lord and answer for doing that with His money. I think there's some starving people that we could feed and preach the gospel to with that money. But that's just me. Evidently, God, I'll just say, it might be that God knows I can't handle that kind of thing because none of you have ever written me a $1 million check. So I've never had to worry about such problems. Yeah, if Doug ever wrote me one, I know what that would do. I'd dribble it. So this guy's a hoarder. And folks, I joke about it, but I've known two people who didn't give to the Lord's work and they died. And when they died, their families found out that they had huge amounts of money and other holdings. And you know where the money went? They didn't leave a will saying, give this to the Lord's work or anything. And it went, in both cases, went to unsaved people who just spent it. Two Christians that I know personally who could have left this at least a good portion of their wealth to the Lord's work. And even after they're in heaven, their money would still be doing the Lord's work. But they just hoarded it, died and left it. And they just burned it up, spin it like, you know, people like that would. So verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. You notice how many times he's saying, I, me, my, whatever. All about me, me, me. It's a standing joke here at BBF that a lot of churches ought to add to their praise book or their praise worship repertoire the song, Me, 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 Me. That's usually a warm-up. But that could fit in there. Me, 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 me. Oh, yeah. Me, 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 me. You know, that's what it's all about. There's sermons. You go week after week, what are the sermons about? Something about you. I got to make this all about you. You people there, that's what it's all about, you. It's supposed to be about Him. Amen. It's supposed to be about Jesus. You know what is about you? What Jesus did for you. Amen. What Jesus has to say to you. What Jesus teaches you. But it's not just about you. But that's what... You go to the Christian bookstore to look at the bestsellers. And just think about what the point of that book and who the real subject of that book is. It'll rarely be something that isn't about you, because that's how they know to make the money. There's the itching ears that these people are scratching. And it's never enough. You ever notice that? When your goal is this life of covetousness and having as much as you can, it's never enough. These guys that are, you know, the big tech people and people like Bezos, you know, what's he doing with his money? I think I'll just take a trip to the moon, or at least to outer space. Later, he wants to go to the moon. I had a meme I showed, you know, that said that the global warming and climate change is so horrible and terrible and serious that the richest man on earth is taking rides in his carbon-spewing space rocket into space and back just for fun. See, you need to live like a pauper. You need to live in poverty, but the people like Bezos, they'll continue to live the way they live. It's not about the climate. It's about control and keeping you where they want you. So then verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Kind of make me feel good there, because there's many times I talk to myself and say, Greg. I mean, a lot of times is when I do dumb things. I'm like, Greg. Last night I heard Jenny having a real good conversation with herself. She's in there. I said, who are you talking to? Myself, and I'm having a good conversation. That's not the sin. The sin isn't that he's talking to himself. It's that he's never satisfied. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Think about that. How many of you have... We buy and have some things in store, you know, in case something happens, you need it, you know. We don't have many years worth. This guy does, and it still isn't enough. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Look at that. No thought of God or others anywhere in there. Remember what Jesus said. We were in chapter 10. Turn back to chapter 10 real quick. Verses 26 through 28. Wasn't too long ago, Jesus had said this. He's answering a fellow asked him what to do to inherit eternal life. And in verse 26, Jesus says, he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. Read 28. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Isn't that funny that he tells him, you know, loving the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, loving your neighbors yourself. You do that and you live. But go back then to our text in Luke 12. The soul in our text will not live. You see the contrast? Loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, loving your neighbors yourself, you'll live. Why? You can't love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and reject the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. Yeah. And if you say you love God but you don't love others, talk is cheap. In this case, this guy doesn't mention God, doesn't have anything to do with anything but himself. Then verse 20, read that with me. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? What's going to happen to all that stuff? What's going to happen to all that stuff he's hoarding up? It'll burn up, rot, go to somebody else. One thing we know for sure, it isn't going to go to him. You can't take it with you. Amen? How often you seen this? Isn't often, and if you do, I'm sure it doesn't have anything to do with where they're burying that body in the hearse. That's why you don't see U-Hauls behind a hearse. Amen. You can't take it with you. So that's why verse 21 says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Those two people I mentioned earlier, I believe they were saved. I believe saved people can be foolish. Amen. Saved people can do stupid things. Saved people can die and have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank account and all kinds of stocks and bonds and whatever, and have made no provision for the Lord's work. And when they die, all that stuff just might as well be thrown on a fire and burned, because it's just going to go to a bunch of people who are going to spend it on whatever. It's not going to be used for God's glory.
Yep.
I believe that happens. And this guy, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This guy is so far gone, I imagine he might be in hell. And what good is any of this stuff going to do you in hell? If you have the idea, well, me and my buddy's going to be down there, we're going to drink, play cards, and just hang out, you're a fool.
Amen.
That ain't going to happen.
That's right. Amen.
Hell is a place of outer darkness, wailing and gnashing of teeth. The filthy are still filthy.
Yep.
Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. We read that last week in our Isaiah study.
Yeah.
That's the fool laying up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The greedy Christian, think of that. The greedy Christian is a contradiction in terms. No Christian should be referred to as greedy. I worked for an outfit one time, and they had "Glory to God" on the side of the big building where we went in and made the product. They were so cheap, treated their employees terribly. And the joke inside among all the unsaved people I worked with, and I was trying to talk to about Jesus and get them to study the Bible with me and all that kind of thing, they said they should change that to "Glory to Gold" instead of "Glory to God." Greedy Christian, it's a contradiction in terms. Real quick as we close, look at Acts 20. This is a wonderful message by Paul. We don't have time to get into a lot of it, but this is one of those verses that kind of gets out of our thought process. Paul says this in verse 35. If you dare read it. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
That's just a big test. If you can't give without just feeling sick at your stomach, there's something wrong with your heart.
Yep.
If you have, and you can, then the Spirit of God in you, if you're allowing Him to control you, you're going to be a very giving person. By the way, we're not just talking about cash here, by the way. I mean, giving, period. Things that you can give. It's up to you to know what that is. But it says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that he should they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul gave of himself. That's why they were weeping before he was gone. They were missing him before he was even gone.
Yeah.
He gave, meaning Jesus, so we give. See, that's how it's supposed to work. You know that you should be burning in hell right now. If you don't know that, see me afterwards. We need to do a Bible study. God says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every sinner deserves to be in hell right now.
Amen.
But Jesus came as a baby, born of a virgin, sinless, Son of God, the only being in existence that could die for your sins. And he did. He lived a sinless life. demonstrated his deity with the miracles, making the blind to see, the lame to walk, raising the dead, and then they showed their appreciation, named towns after. No, they crucified him. They murdered him. And he shed his blood to pay for your sins, put him in a tomb, and after 3 days and nights, he rose bodily from the dead, conquering sin and death. If it weren't for that, no one would ever be saved. But because of that, all who will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again, according to the Scriptures, everyone who believes that is saved.
Amen.
It's that cut and dry. So He gave and saved your soul and my soul from hell.
Amen.
And if you really believe that and understand that, you're going to be a giver. You're going to have His Spirit. That means you're going to want to give just like He gave.
Amen.
So if you don't have a giving spirit about you, you need to check your spirit. You need to get along with God and ask Him why. Why, God? Why does it hurt me to give? Why, when I give, do I just not like it? God loves a cheerful giver. We give our lives to Him in repentance. Some crazy nuts out there telling everybody you don't have to repent to be saved in the first place. Not only that, your whole life is a life of repentance. Everything about you that is short of His glory, you repent of. Everything you do that is wrong, you repent of. You may not be right that moment, but when God's Spirit confronts you with it, you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I confess that sin. And the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And that's your life until you get glorified. You're going to fail. You don't do it by intent or there's something really wrong. But even when you do, when you recognize it, you repent. And the greatest gift we can give to others is not a check.
Amen.
Or a Christmas gift or a birthday gift or whatever. Those are all fine. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. House the homeless. Whatever. Those are all wonderful things. But the greatest gift you can give to any of those people in any of those categories is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can feed them today, they'll get hungry tomorrow. You can give them a coat today and next week it's stolen from them out on the street. Don't stop doing those things, but those things are not the gifts that last. The only gift that lasts eternally is the gospel.
Amen.
Give them that coat and give them the gospel. Give them food and give them the gospel. Help people out when they... Help a guy change a flat tire and while you're talking to him, give him the gospel. Give him a gospel tract as he goes on. Whatever. That's the greatest gift you can give to others.
Thank you. Things are the things that help us get through our lives. lives. These wonderful things are the things that help us get through our lives. Just hear those trumpets trumpeting, ba-ba-ba-da-da-boo. Come on, it's lovely weather to be raptured to heaven.